4. Royal Palace, City of Telesburg, Kingdom of Carus. Merlin Athrawes stood just inside the council chamber door, wearing the black and gold of the Carisian royal guard, and watched a young man gaze out a window across the Telesburg waterfront at the latest in the line of rain squalls marching towards the city across Howell Bay. The youngster in question was dark-haired, dark-eyed, and on the tall side for an inhabitant of the planet of Safehold, and especially of the Kingdom of Carus. He was also barely 23 years old, which came to only 21 in the years of the planet on which, though he did not know it, his species had actually evolved. That made him very young indeed to wear the emerald-set golden chain whose glittering green fire was the emblem of a king. Many people would no doubt have been struck by his youthfulness, the fact that, despite his already powerful physique, he clearly had filling out still to do. Others might have noted the restless energy which had driven him to the window after the better part of 2 hours of discussion and planning. They might have confused that restlessness with boredom or lack of interest, but only until they saw his eyes, Merlin thought. They were no longer as young as they once had been, those eyes, and the mouth below them was thinner, with the set of a man far older, wiser, tougher and more ruthless than his years. They were the eyes and mouth of Caleb Jean Harald Brian Armach, King Caleb II, ruler of Carus, who had, in the space of barely 3 local months, won the 3 most crushing one-sided naval victories in the entire history of Safehold, lost his father, inherited a crown, and thrown his defiance of the 4 most powerful men in the entire world into the teeth of God's own church. And they were also the eyes and mouth of a king whose kingdom still faced the short end of a battle of extinction unless he and his advisors could think of a way to avert that outcome. Caleb watched the distant rain for several more moments, then turned back to several of the advisors in question. The group of men seated around the massive table weren't the entire royal council. In fact, they weren't even most of the council, and they did include several people who weren't council members at all. Caleb was well aware that some of the councillors who weren't present resented, or would resent, their exclusion when they discovered it. If they discovered it. But while his father's tutelage had seen to it that he was far from oblivious to the political imperatives of maintaining a broad base of support, especially in the present circumstances, he was also perfectly willing to live with that resentment for the moment. "All right," he said. "I think that deals with all of the immediate domestic reports." He looked around the table, one eyebrow quirked, and the compact, distinguished-looking man sitting at its far end nodded. Regis Yowance, the Earl of Grey Harbor, had served Caleb's father as Carus's first counselor of Carus for the better part of 14 years. Now he served his new king in the same role.
"For the moment, at any rate, Your Majesty," he said.
Despite the fact that he'd known Caleb literally all his life, or possibly because of it, he had made a point to address his youthful monarch with a greater degree of formality since Caleb's ascension to the throne.
"I believe Michael here has at least one additional point he wishes to address, although I understand he's waiting for a few more reports before he does so."
Grey Harbor's rising inflection turned the final part of the statement into a question, and he raised one eyebrow at the man sitting at the far end of the council table from the king in the white cassock of the episcopate.
"I do," Archbishop Michael confirmed. "As you say, however, Regis, I'm still waiting for 2 reports I requested. With your permission, Your Majesty, I'd like to reserve a few minutes of your time tomorrow or the next day to discuss this."
"Of course," Caleb told the man who had been his father's confessor and who, despite certain
technical irregularities, had been elevated to Archbishop of all Corus.
"I also expect additional reports from Hanth in the next few days,"
Greyharbor continued, and smiled thinly.
"Current indications are that Montale is considering a rather hasty relocation to Arrestor."
"Probably the smartest move the bastard's made in years,"
someone murmured so softly even Merlin's ears had trouble overhearing him. The voice, Merlin noted, sounded remarkably like that of the Earl of Lock Island. If Caleb had heard the comment, he gave no indication. Instead, he simply nodded.